For War News Radio at Swarthmore College, I'm Will Sullivan.
And I'm John Gagnon.
The African Union has approved a mandate for a multinational military force of 7,500 troops to combat the militant Islamist group Boko Haram. The plan was proposed by Nigeria, Cameroon, Niger, Chad, and Benin, the West African nations directly impacted by Boko Haram forces. They will each contribute troops stationed within their respective borders and coordinated from Chad's capital, N'Djamena. The African Union hopes to attain UN Security Council approval, which could help increase international assistance for the regional coalition. The news comes as Boko Haram recently captured the strategically significant town of Manguno in northeastern Nigeria. After claiming the town's large military arsenal, Boko Haram launched attacks on Maiduguri, a city of 2 million people. While the militants were initially repelled by the Nigerian troops, resulting in 200 combatant deaths, they still control 4 out of 5 main roads leading into the city. Nigerian forces expect an imminent counterattack.
An anti-ISIS conference in London brought together a total of 21 nations, including Iraq. The Kurdish regional government, an autonomous body within Iraq that has played a key role in the fight against ISIS, was not invited to the conference, much to the discontent of KRG President Masoud Barzani. He affirmed, quote, "The people of Kurdistan bear the brunt of this situation, and no country or party can represent or truly convey their voice in international gatherings." Just days after the conference, Kurdish Peshmerga fighters regained full control of Syrian border city Kobani, which has been contested by ISIS since September.
Cuban President Raul Castro expressed a cautious approach to the normalization of relations with the United States, demanding in a speech this week that the U.S. lift its trade embargo on Cuba, remove Cuba from its terror list, and return the naval base at Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo, which President Castro called illegally occupied, was leased to the U.S. in 1903 and has remained under U.S. control ever since. Meanwhile, former Cuban President Fidel Castro, Raul Castro's brother, has been hesitant in expressing approval of establishing diplomatic relations with the U.S. While defending the aim of peaceful cooperation with all nations, he nonetheless stated, quote, "I do not trust the politics of the United States."
Earlier this week, around 12,000 ethnic Albanians protested in Pristina, Kosovo's capital. The protests were mainly in response to offensive remarks made by Aleksandar Djablanovic, one of 3 ethnic Serbs in Prime Minister Mufasa's cabinet. Djablanovic attempted to downplay the Serbian war crimes in the 1998-1999 Kosovo War and called a group of Albanians savages. Kosovo, which declared its independence from Serbia in 2008, continues to struggle with integrating its Albanian majority with its Serbian minority.
2 Israeli soldiers and a Spanish UN peacekeeper were killed in an exchange of fire between Israel and the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. The violence began as Hezbollah fired at a convoy of Israeli military vehicles in the contested border area between Lebanon and the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. Hezbollah claimed responsibility for the attack, which also injured 7 Israeli defense soldiers. The Israeli military acknowledged that the UN peacekeeper was killed by an Israeli mortar shell. Tensions have recently escalated in the area as an Israeli airstrike killed an Iranian general and 6 Hezbollah militants in Syria earlier this month. Iran told U.S. officials that this Israeli strike had, quote, "crossed our red lines." The event was followed by the launch of 2 rockets from Syria into the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. The Israeli army returned fire and carried out raids against Syrian army artillery posts. Israel and Syria have held a ceasefire since 1967, while Israel last invaded Lebanon in 2006.
A barrage of rockets hit civilian neighborhoods on the eastern edge of Mariupol, a Ukrainian port city, killing 30 and wounding many. A Donetsk rebel leader referred to the attacks as, quote, "the best possible monument to all our dead." Human Rights Watch and the Organization for Security and Cooperation both attest that the rockets were fired from rebel-held areas. According to NATO, the rebels are being backed by Russian troops, putting pressure on the West to respond. President Obama has stated that he will consider all measures, quote, "short of military confrontation."
Mexican Attorney General Jesus Murillo Caram officially declared dead the 43 students who disappeared in Mexico in September. An investigation ordered by the Mexican government revealed that the students were targeted by a gang, Guerreros Unidos, who believed them to be members of a rival gang. It also uncovered evidence that the students' bodies were burned and then put into bags, which were thrown into a nearby river, according to Murillo Caram. However, the remains could only be linked to one student. Family members of the students accused the Mexican government of cutting the investigation short. Although Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto insists the country must move on after this tragic event, many feel that issues that highlight the presence of gang violence in Mexico call for further government action.
Argentine President Cristina Fernández de Kirchner announced a plan to dismantle the country's spy agencies. The proposal would dissolve the old intelligence service and restrict wiretapping authority to the Attorney General's office. President Kirchner has been at odds with Argentine intelligence officers that claim Iran ordered the 1994 bombing of a Jewish center in Buenos Aires. Earlier this month, prosecutor Alberto Nisman accused President Kirchner's government of negotiating a secret deal to protect Iran from responsibility for the attack in exchange for oil. The prosecutor, Mr. Nisman, was later found dead of a gunshot wound under mysterious circumstances. Argentine spy agencies have a reputation for overreach since the dirty war of the 1970s and 1980s, but critics fear the removal would harm the credibility of Argentine intelligence.
At least 11 people were killed when armed gunmen stormed the five-star Corinthian Hotel in Tripoli, Libya, last week. Among the dead were a French citizen, three Tajikistan nationals, and David Berry, an American Marine veteran employed by a Virginia-based security firm. A group calling itself the Tripoli Province of the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack. The group declared that the attack was a response to the recent death of Abu Anas Alibi, an alleged former Al-Qaeda operative who died of hepatitis C-related complications while awaiting trial in New York. This raid comes in the midst of an ongoing civil war in Libya that intensified after elections were held last summer. UN-mediated negotiations have since failed to gain traction between the two main factions in the conflict, the Tripoli-based Libyan Dawn and the internationally recognized regime in Tobruk, a city in eastern Libya. It remains to be seen whether the hotel attack was an isolated incident or a sign of ISIS's growing influence in Libyan politics.
Yemen remains in a state of political crisis 1 week after the resignation of President Abu Rabu Mansour Hadi and his cabinet. Abdul Malik al-Houthi, leader of the Houthi Shiite rebel group that currently controls the capital, Sana'a, has called for a peaceful transition and blamed southern separatists for the stalled progress in creating a new government. Meanwhile, the Houthis continue to capture military positions in the Sana'a province, even taking control of a key military camp south of the city. Unlike President Hadi, the Houthis are openly against American involvement in the country. The former president was highly cooperative with U.S. military and intelligence officials, receiving millions of dollars for anti-terrorist training and allowing U.S. drone strikes on Yemeni soil. Moving forward with its counter-terrorism program despite Houthi control of the capital, the U.S. killed three suspected fighters in a drone strike against Al-Qaeda positions in the country this week. Additionally, a Pentagon spokesperson indicated that training of Yemeni military officials would continue in some capacity.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Mayank Agrawal, Jay Clayton, Amy DePiro, Leo Elliott, John Gagnon, Joelle Hajboutros, Allison Raybar, Sabrina Merold, Amber Sheth, Will Sullivan, and Tyler Welsh. This week's show was produced by Joelle Hajboutros and Leo Elliott. I'm Will Sullivan.
And I'm John Gagnon. Until next time, thanks for listening.